Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Morning, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, and text 55. Svatvam vihaya mam bando.
Svatvam vihaya mam bando.
Gato gramya mati mahim.
Gato gramya mati mahim.
Icharan paramadrikshi.
Icharan paramadrikshi.
Kaya chin nimitam striya.
Kaya chin nimitam striya.
Svatvam vihaya mam bando.
Vicharam paramatrakshi
Kaya chin nimitam sriya
Kaya chin nimitam sriya
Tatvam vihaya mam bando
Tatvam vihaya mam bando
Gato gramya mati mahim
Gato gramya mati mahim
Vicharam paramatrakshi
Vicharam paramatrakshi
Kaya chin nimitam sriya
that's one.
Svam,
yourself.
Vihaya,
living.
Mam,
me.
Bando,
oh
friend.
Friend.
Gata,
went.
Gramya,
material.
Mati, whose consciousness?
Mahim,
to earth.
Vicharan,
traveling.
Padam,
position.
Adrakshi,
you saw.
Kayachi,
by someone.
Nirmitam,
manufactured.
Striya,
by a woman. Translation, my dear friend, you are now my very same friend. Since you left me, you have become more and more materialistic, and not seeing me, you have been traveling in different forms throughout this material world, which was created by some woman. Translation, please speak. My dear friend, you are now my very same friend.
You are now my very same friend.
Since you left me, you have become more and more materialistic. And not seeing me, you have been traveling in different forms.
You have been traveling in different forms
throughout this material world.
Which
was created by something. Purport. When the living entity falls down, he goes into the material world, which was created by the external energy of the Lord. This external energy is described herein as some woman or Prakriti. And this material world is composed of material elements, ingredients supplied by the Mahatattva, the total material energy. And the material world created by this external energy becomes the so-called home of the conditioned soul. Within this material world, the conditioned soul accepts different apartments or different bodily forms and then travels about. Sometimes he travels in the higher planetary systems, sometimes in the lower systems. Sometimes he travels in higher species of life and sometimes in lower species. He has been wandering within this material universe since time immemorial. As explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Brahmanda Brahmadikona Bhagavanaji, Guru Krishna Prashadi Paya Bhakti Lata Beach, Sri Chaitanya Charamrita Madhya 19.151. Living entity wanders into many species of life, but he is fortunate when he once again meets his friend, either in person or through his representative. Actually, it is Krishna who personally advises all living entities to return home back to Godhead. Sometimes Krishna sends his representative, who, delivering Krishna's very message, canvasses all living entities to return home back to Godhead. Unfortunately, the living entity is so greatly attached to material enjoyment that he does not take the instructions of Krishna or his representative very seriously. This material tendency is mentioned in this verse as gramyamati, sense gratification. The word mahim means within this material world. All living entities within this material world are essentially inclined. Consequently, they become entangled in different types of body and suffer the pang of material existence. Svantram vihaya mam bando jata gramya mati mahim nicharam param adrakshi kayachi nirmitam sriya. My dear friend, you are now my very same friend. Since you left me, you have become more and more materialistic. Not seeing me, you have been travelling in different forms throughout this material world created by some woman. So, the Narada Muni is continuing to speak to King Pachinibhayashat using this story of Paranjana and Paranjani's wife, and how Paranjana was too attached to his wife. He came back as Vaidhavi, but she had a very nice husband who led her, who guided and helped her. But the husband died, and then the Brahmana has come. The Brahmana represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking. So Narada Muni is relating this to King Pachinibhaja in this allegorical kind of way. The Brahmana is speaking, "My dear friend, we have been friends a long time," meaning the Supreme Personality of Godhead, living entity, Paramatma, is always traveling. We've been describing this speaking from the last few shlokas. Today, this theme is carried on, and Narada Muni continues. You enter now when the living entity, of course, comes to any of the universe's planetary systems. Yesterday I was describing how Lord Brahma is the first created being within our universe, and there's so many Lord Brahmas. And then from Lord Brahma, all the planetary systems, the living entities come out again for the different types of position in this world. So all this is mentioned, created by some woman, meaning the material entity, the Maya, the Mahamaya, or Prakriti. Prakriti, it is like Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha is the supreme enjoy, and Prakriti is the enjoy. So the Lord expands himself and becomes the Yoga Maya, which becomes the Mahamaya. All the Mahatattva, all the material elements are supplied to all the universes by the energy of the Lord, and Mahatattva, the Prakriti, and all the elements are there, spread throughout each universe, and they are the makeup of the various different types of bodies. Here Prabhupada says they're like apartments. Sometimes you live in this apartment, and then you move and you go to another apartment, according to your purchasing power. I heard one time Prabhupada say like that. The purchasing power, you know, if you haven't got much of purchasing power, you have to live in a very cheap place. If you've got a lot of purchasing power, you've got a lot of money, then you can buy a little bit better place. And if you've got more money still, you can buy a very expensive place. So here Prabhupada explains like that. You're wandering into the lower species of the human beings, and sometimes you go into the higher species. This is all your purchasing power according to the power of your karma, your activities. And Krishna is responding to that. Your activities give you certain results. So you act very piously, then you'll be rewarded with higher and higher apartments. If you act very sinfully, you'll go down. So in his purport, Prabhupada explains that actually one acquires lower births according to the karma, but especially when the spiritual intelligence is less, when the spiritual intelligence is reduced, so there's a difference between material intelligence and spiritual intelligence. Material intelligence is certainly there are different degrees of material intelligence, but it's actually very superficial. It pertains to this prakriti. But underlying the prakriti is the internal energy of the Lord that sustains all. So to understand that, one needs more than material intelligence. the greatest of the scholars cannot understand this, because actually, although they have a big supply of material intelligence, their stock of spiritual intelligence is very low. So when that stock of spiritual intelligence becomes lower and lower and lower, even though externally it may seem very high, but internally it is very low, and then in the next life, because of that lacking of spiritual intelligence and the combination of the desires which come from that, then one is awarded various types of bodies to fulfill those desires. It's a result of diminishing of spiritual intelligence. So it takes spiritual intelligence, and to develop spiritual intelligence more and more, one has to become purified, because actually the Krishna consciousness is dormant within everybody. It's a question of the covering, which is the result of our desires. And the more the covering, the result of our sinful desires. The more one has sinful desires, the more one is placed in more and more coverings. Now, those of us on earth, we have the bodies made of the earth and the water and the fire and so on. In the higher planetary systems, their bodies are more refined, the material elements are more refined, and you get to the fiery bodies, and you get to like Lord Brahma's body, which is mainly ethereal. So ether is one of the elements, whereas our body is more of the earth or more water. Lord Brahma's body is much more subtle, ethereal body. So the higher the planetary systems, the elements are more subtle, the lower, the more gross, less spiritual intelligence. So when a person becomes materially gross, Prabhupada says, because of this diminishing of spiritual intelligence, they haven't got capacity to actually understand about spiritual existence. And in the 12th canon, this is described as a Kali Yuga progresses more and more and more and more. The living entities and the human life will be reduced in their capacity. It's not that they, even at that stage, at the end of the Kali Yuga, it's not that they don't want to hear about spiritual life, but they haven't got the capacity, even if it was presented to them. Their spiritual intelligence is so less that they haven't got the capacity to even understand it. And it becomes so bad at the end of the Kali Yuga that Kalki comes and liberates everything. Because even if you were presented, they haven't got the capacity. Spiritual life. And you get lower in the species to actually understand it. They can benefit just like the lower species of life. If some is a dog or a cat what they can understand about spiritual life. They can benefit by just someone chanting and the sound vibrations the dogs and the cats can hear. But to understand deeply, just like we're here today coming to the Srimad Bhagavatam class, other species of life, they haven't got the spiritual intelligence to be able to understand these things. They don't come here. You don't find assembly of dogs come together and hear some of their own volition. They haven't got the capacity to do that. Understand? They may have material intelligence. You know, just some say, for example, the dolphin is very intelligent. And each species has some sort of an intelligence. It's an amazing thing. That is God-given also. Very, very amazing thing, how they can smell something from very far away and come right there, and amazing arrangement how to capture their prey. But it takes some intelligence. This is inspired from within by Paramatma. He gives the understanding how to do these things. These are materialistic things. instinct. You know, how do they know to do like that? And Prabhupada one time described that, he gave the example, just like the deer gives birth to the baby deer. Some will say instinctively the baby deer will go and drink the milk from the mother just after the birth. How are the baby deer knows to do like that? It is living inside the womb, it is coming out of the womb and is there, and how it knows to go and do like that and drink the milk from the mother? Some will say the materialistic sign, it is just instinct. It is just evolved in such a way that the instinct goes and it makes the baby deer go and drink. Prabhupada says, no, there's no such thing as instinct. It is actually Paramatma who has arranged to give them, he is reminding them that now you have to do this. Prabhupada explained that. Paramatma is helping everyone. Otherwise, how the baby deer knows? Does the mother deer come and teach the baby deer to come and drink the milk? No, the baby deer, even without the prodding from the mother, just goes there. Just goes there. And drinks the milk. How it knows to do like that? Prophecy. This is Paramatma doing that. Paramatma is witnessing. He's observing. He's witnessing. But Paramatma is not just passive witnessing, observing. He is actually arranging. He's actually very active. He's very active. Although sitting in one place, active doesn't mean the Supreme Personality has to move around. He can be active just sitting in the one place in the heart. He is active, reminding them, you have to do like this. Now you're in the deer body, now you have to do like this. Now you're in the spider body, you have to do like this. Now, the intelligence is there within each species of life. And each species of life has an intelligence. The spider knows how to make the web. How does the spider know how to make the web? Did the mother or the spider teach the baby spider how to make the web? Come now, we're going to have classes on making webs. How it knows. Some not go, oh, they just see from how the mother does it like that. Maybe they learn like that, but also they know just intuitively, and that intuition comes from the Supreme Personality. Intuitively is more correct, instincting. Intuitively, but where is that intuition coming from? It's come from Paramatma. This is the explanation coming in the Shastras. Kamana, Dhyana, Netrina. By divine arrangement, these things are happening. What birth, what body you come into, all these things. So, but now forgetfulness of the spiritual existence entangles one more and more and more. And one becomes more attached. And this attachment, now we have attachment. There's one verse. Prasangamajanam pa samatmanakaba yoga gusa eva sarasokrita moksha dvanam apavritam. That the sages know that attachment can be the greatest bondage, or attachment can be the greatest liberation. It depends on what you're attached to. You cannot give up attachment. It's just intrinsic in the spirit soul. The spirit soul has attachment for Krishna. Krishna has attachment for living entities. So that is it. But now our attachment has gone to the material, that is entanglement. If our attachment goes to Krishna and the spiritual activities, moksha dvaram, it opens the door of the liberation. Liberation is there. So you have to switch the attachment. Generally, where the people are very self-absorbed or ego-centric. Everything is about them. And that becomes very prominent the more and more you go lower in the species of life. As you go higher, there are thoughts of others, because that is mode of passion, that is mode of ignorance. And in the mode of ignorance, one just thinks about themselves only. Just how do I eat? You know, the lower the species, how I get food, how I survive. And it doesn't matter if others die, as long as I live. This is the mentality. So, you know, for the spider to jump on another, or, you know, for the tiger to jump on and kill and eat, it doesn't think twice about that thing. It is just having to survive. So just thoughts of themselves. Of course, the higher, there may be some thoughts of your immediate family, the sons and the daughters, even in the animal. But actually, as you go lower and lower, they don't even care about that thing. Sometimes they even eat their young. You have some species like that. They even the birth, and they even eat their own young. Because there's no thought. So lower and lower, that mode of ignorance. And Prabhupada gave the example one time, just like the hunter. He's hunting. He comes and he fires the gun at the herd of the animals, and he shoots one dies, and but the other animals also, they run away. And the hunter comes. The animals run away, but they just stop. They're feeding on the grass. And one of them is killed. They run away maybe 500 meters, 600 meters, and they just start grazing again, as if nothing happened, just forgotten that thing. And then the hunter comes again, shoots another one, and then run away. But the desire for eating and surviving is greater than their impending death. They're just impelled. They're impelled by the modes of nature, especially the mode of ignorance. So in purport of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada talks about that. The spell of the modes of nature is like a spell on us. If I put a spell on you, some tantric thing I put on Prabhu, I put a spell. He doesn't act like himself anymore. He acts under my control, isn't it? I put the spell on him. And so he is just doing whatever I want. He's not doing what Prabhu usually does. And then spell. The Prabhupada talking, he uses that word, the spell of the modes of material nature. We get the spell of ignorance. The soul is not actually like that, but the soul is acting through the body and acting under the spell, under ignorance. Ignorance forces us to be very lazy, very sleepy, very harsh, very cruel, sometimes angry, you know, this and that. So many symptoms of the night of ignorance. Krodha, anger, sleepiness. So these are symptoms, mode of ignorance. And the spell is on us. So this is lower and lower and lower. So this means that the spiritual intelligence is reduced, and because of that, if one likes to stay like that, then Krishna arranges a body that's suitable for lower spiritual intelligence. One likes to sleep a lot, or eat anything. One may become a pig in the next life and eat anything. One may become, like to sleep a lot. May become a bear. You can sleep 6 months, no problem. Become a bear. Buck. We used to have one buck, but we used to call him Buck the Bear. because we couldn't find him for a couple of days, and no one saw. And then someone found him. He was buried in the dirty wash. He'd gone in there to hide and go to sleep, and he slept for like a day and a half. So we called him Buck the Bear. And you want to sleep? Sure, fine. If you don't like doing that, then be a bear. You can sleep for 6 months, then hibernate for 6 months, come out. You can be like that. So the grosser the desires, the grosser the body. The lesser the spiritual intelligence. And so in those situations, where is the capacity? Less spiritual intelligence. But we shouldn't mistake material intelligence for spiritual intelligence. Because I'm BAMA PhD, I'm spiritually advanced. Is that the case? Can we say that all academics or all scholars who have high academic credentials, they must be the most spiritually advanced people in the world? Is it? So does it automatically equal material learning and scholarship and accreditation with spiritual advancement? Not necessarily. Can be. Someone who has like that can also be spiritually advanced. But it's not absolutely the case. It's not necessarily the case. It's not necessarily an indication of spiritual advancement. Even the one who is the illiterate can be the most spiritually advanced. Just like that story of Lord Chaitanya, when he was travelling in the south, when he was going, I think near the Sri Rangam area, and there was one Brahmana who had been instructed by his guru, but he was illiterate. He didn't know how to read or write or anything like that. He was instructed by his guru to read Bhagavad Gita, and he would every day be holding the Bhagavad Gita and he was crying. And others were making fun. Why is he crying? He can't even read. And so Lord Chaitanya saw him and he embraced him. And actually, before anybody asked him, well, what is it that you read the Bhagavad Gita? I hope you can't even read. My guru gave me this instruction, and I just think of Krishna instructing Arjuna, and I see within my mind, and I become overwhelmed, and tears come from my eye. And Lord Chaitanya embraced me. You are the true scholar of the Bhagavad Gita. You, in your heart, you embrace what is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. But you are the scholar. So Lord Chaitanya embraced him because he had the spiritual advancement. So even though outwardly it seemed he was illiterate, internally he was very spiritually advanced. So many examples like that in history of those who didn't have high education but were considered just a Gaukishwar Das Babaji Maharaj didn't have high education, but he was the spiritual master of Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And at his level of advancement is Mahabhagavata. So it doesn't necessarily, although one can be very maturely educated and be very spiritually advanced as well. But mature intelligence doesn't necessarily mean spiritual intelligence. In fact, it can be a block to spiritual intelligence. One may become very proud and arrogant and condescending. I'm superior to the others. And that'll be a block for your spiritual advancement, because one actually has to be very humble to make spiritual advances. One has to be, if you know everything already, how you can learn everything properly? So one has to keep in mind that one has to be very, very humble. So the grosser the desires, the lesser the spiritual intelligence, the grosser the desires, the grosser the desire, the grosser the body, and one can stay for a long time, many, many lives. But of course, Paramatma is explaining that you are my friend. We've been traveling a long time together, but now you become you've forgotten everything. You become very materialistic under this illusion created by some woman, meaning the Prakriti. You become very entangled. But I'm here to remind you. And Prabhupada, of course, he quotes from this Brahmanda Brahmati Bhagavan. Brahmande Brahmati Kona Bhagavan Ajiva Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhakti Lada Bhijas. And this is a very important verse. Prabhupada would quote this verse a lot. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya, 19, chapter 151. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe, some of them being elevated to the upper planets, some are going down to the lower planet. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with the bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. This is the meaning of a Guru Krishna Prasad. And by the mercy Guru Krishna, by the mercy Krishna sees, there's a little spark, Krishna knows, so by good fortune he sends his representative, and one who is fortunate gets the mercy, gets the prasad of the representative. And by bhakti lakabi, he plants the seed of the devotional. It is there, but he gives the water. It's like planting the seed or revitalizing the seed of bhakti again. So this is mentioned here. Prabhupada comments, in Maya we are suffering and enjoying the results, life after life. This is a conditioning of the living entity. But out of many, one who is actually fortunate, Bhagyavan, he says, comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. Krishna knows everything. He is in everyone's heart. He fulfills everyone's desire. Even if there's a little desire, Krishna wants that living entities come out of the entanglement. And mainly the desire is for material enjoyment. But if there's even a little desire, Krishna fans that desire and makes arrangement where one can go further. This is called Guru Krishna Prasada. Krishna is prepared to bestow his mercy upon all living entities. On all living entities. It doesn't matter, humans, demigods, lower species of life, doesn't matter. Just like today is the appearance anniversary of Srivastana. The Prabhupada wrote a little book just on Panchatattva. But you have the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Panchatattva, Makamakam, Bhakta Rupa, Swarupa. You have the expansion. Everything, actually, all the spiritual truths are there manifest in Panchatattva. The Supreme Purusha, Mahaprabhu. And his expansion. And Lord Nityananda. His incarnation at Vaikuntha. His internal energy, Vedanta. His marginal energy, Srivas. So all the spiritual truths are there in the Panchatattva. And specifically Lord Chaitanya came and manifested in this way, Panchatattva himself, and Panchatattva, some coming before, some coming, mostly before, actually, preceding him. And wanted to show the variety of the spiritual truths. Whereas the Mayavadis were presenting the so-called oneness of everything, he wanted to manifest the variety. So Gadadha is the manifestation of the internal energy, a manifestation of Radharani, and brought them to Nanda, of course, the first expansion, Balaram, and then, of course, Advaita, Mahavishnu would come as Advaita Acharya, and then Srivasa is the incarnation of Narad Muni. Narad Muni. So Narad Muni, he represents the Jiva. Of course, the Jiva, they're not Vishnu Tattva. There's all different types of tattvas. There's Vishnu tattvas, there's Svamsa, Vibhinamsa, and we are the Vibhinamsa, the marginal energy, innumerable, unlimited. We are not on the level of Vishnu tattva, but one can be empowered even on the Vibhinamsa, the Jiva level, and like Srivas Pandit, and like Narad Muni. Srivas Pandit, he appeared before Lord Chaitanya, and originally he is from the Sri Hatha area, which is now Sylhet, which is in Bangladesh. He's from that area. And he was the second of the five brothers. His elder brother Narayana stayed there, and the other four brothers, I think the four brothers, let's see, the Srivas, Ramai, Sriram, and I think the Sripati, Srinidhi, the four brothers, they came to Nabadwi and they lived there. And you can see the house on Srivasangam nearby the Mayapur, there nearby the Yogapit. And so the brothers came, and they came preceding. The four brothers would go quite regularly. They were Vaishnavas, of course, and they would go quite regularly to the house of Advaita Acharya. And to when there was discourse on Bhagavatam, when there was Kirtan, they would go quite regularly. And they became good friends with Jagannath, Mishra, and Sachima. And when Lord Chaitanya was born, little Nimai, they acted like they were like second parents to Nimai. And so on. So there's many wonderful stories as Nimai was growing up in regard to Srivas, in regard to Malini, his wife Malini, growing up. And then later on, of course, in the home of Srivas Pandit, when Lord Chaitanya took initiation, he went to Gaya, took initiation from Ishwara Puri. He came back a little bit changed person. He was very much manifesting the mood of Radha more in love of Godhead. And he would like to do the kirtan. He would have those kirtans in the home of Srivas Pandit. One time he actually asked Srivas Pandit, who do you worship? Remember this story. Who do you worship? Because Lord Srivas Pandit had an altar of Lord Vishnu. And then Lord Chaitanya just went and sat on the asana of Lord Vishnu and sat there and manifested the forehead and form of Lord Vishnu. There's one story like that. And Srivas Pandit was very overwhelmed to see that form and the form. So they have a lot of kirtan, every night kirtan. And there's another story of that maid who would bring the water. Yeah, during the kid bring so much water so the devotees could bring nice water from the Ganga. And Lord Chaitanya appreciated it. What is her name? Her name is Duki. Oh, that is not a very good name. Duki means unhappy. She should now be called Suki because she is she's making the devotees happy. So we should now not call her Duki anymore, call her Suki. Then, of course, the other time was when the kirtan was going on very intensely, and then Srivas Thakur heard in the inner quarters that the lady's crying, and one of the young sons of Srivas Thakur had some disease, and he just all of a sudden passed away. So when he went there, all the ladies were crying and wailing, and then Srivas was able to console them a little bit that now, well, we tried our best to look after our son, but he has left during the kirtan of Mahaprabhu, so now he's attained a very auspicious position, and so he's explaining a little bit philosophically like that, life is temporary, it's just a preaching to the ladies like that. But still, and he asked them, please, don't cry and don't disturb the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now. If you want to cry, cry later. Don't cry now. So he instructed like that. So he was able to control them. They came out and were just, you know, looking at the kirtan, hearing the kirtan. And the kirtan went for some time. And then Lord Chaitanya, of course, later on, he said that, I think something has happened in my mind. I feel some disturbance. And he was informed of Srivas Pandit's son has passed away. And he praised Srivas. He said, let's see the love He has for me that even his son passed away, he didn't want to disturb the kirtans. So he went there and he just touched the boy and the boy came back to life. Boy came back to life. Why have you left in the home of such a nice father and mother like that? And the living entity who was in the body of the son of Sri Vasi began to speak. I had many mothers and fathers and my time has come to be free from this world, be free from the body. So he began to talk about that. So Lord Chaitanya gave me blessings and everyone was satisfied when the living entity talked. As the son of Sri Vasa, he explained this, because now I'm leaving this mortal world behind. So everyone was very happy and satisfied like that. So there are many wonderful stories of Sri Vasa. Later on, when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and was living in Puri, Sri Vasa moved to Kumarahata, a little bit further and closer to Puri. And then every year he would go in the party that would come for the Rath Yatra every year. He would go. Shivananda Sayangula, one of the ones who would go every year to go and be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So today is the anniversary of his appearance. But all these Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and Dadada, and Srivasa, they were very merciful to the living entities. Even though, now, normally, if one is fortunate, now, when Krishna came, Krishna demanded Sabadhanam Paritya, if you surrender unto me, I will protect you from all sinful activities. So, first of all, Prabhupada mentioned that Krishna demanded, you surrender unto me. But Lord Chaitanya was so kind, he didn't make any demands. Surrender or not, doesn't matter. Whether you surrender to me or don't surrender to me, I'm going to distribute this love of God everywhere. Therefore, he is God of the most magnificent incarnation of magnificent form of a Lord who freely gives this love of Godhead to everyone without consideration whether they're surrendering, where they're from, whatever. So if one is fortunate, one can be elevated in that way. So Prabhupada actually says here that the Krishna comes himself, or sometimes he sends his representative, and his representative canvasses all living entities to return home back to Godhead. But unfortunately, many are not very serious and they don't take it up. But those who are fortunate, whether willingly or unwillingly, they can actually go to the highest levels of spiritual position and be free from the pains of material existence, as Prabhupada puts it here. So this is very, very instructive verse, Brahmanda. Brahmanda, Brahmati Kuna Bhagavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prashada Bhakti Lata Vijan. Of course, we get the seed from the Guru, but we have to be, now we've got the seed, we have to be very careful. In the next few verses here in Chaitanya Charitamrita describes it, you know, once you take care of the seed of the Bhakti Lata very carefully by watering it very nicely, by hearing and chanting. This is in the next few verses, Shravan, Kirtan, watering. But when watering, the creeper will grow, but one has to be also careful for the weeds, just like in a garden, when you plant a nice flower or something like that. You water it, but the watering also, the weeds come up. So one has to be careful to pluck out the weeds or not allow the weeds to come up. And so here is explained here a little bit about... one has to be careful. The weeds are, you know, aparads, and can be Seva aparad, Vaishnava aparad, Guru aparad, and so on and so forth. One has to be careful. One has to be careful from becoming puffed up. Somebody, Prabhupada, goes to great length to describe that these weeds that can come up, even though you've taken up devotional service, you're chanting and you're hearing, but if you're not attentive to the weeds that are also coming up, and that will strangle the creeper and stunt your devotional advancement. They'll stunt your devotional advancement. So one must protect it, and one of the ways to do it by fencing it all around, by being surrounded by pure devotees. Prabhupada says, yeah, just like if you're planting a nice garden and you've got flowers, generally you want to plant a nice fence and keep all the unwanted out, and that equates to surrounding yourself with the pure Vaishnavas. In this way, one can avoid these offences, and then when one has to be trained and also educated in spiritual philosophy to be able to identify what is the weeds. Identify what is the weeds. One should be therefore careful to defend the creed by fencing it and by following the regular principle and associating very nicely. So Prabhupada says here that if one has to be careful for over-endeavouring from under, he quotes from Rupa Goswami, talking unnecessary mundane activities and so on and so forth. Unwanted creatures come up, they grow along with the bhakti lata, and he gives so many examples here of, for example, he says that one should not take advantage of the chanting doing kirtan, make a business out of it. This is you're doing it for making this, you know, you're not doing it for advancement, you're doing it for money making. Bhagavad Sapta, you know, you do this as a money making thing. This is one example Prabhupada gives. One may be free from material bondage and be very attached to the cities, the yogic perfections, or to become one, or one may be attached to sensual activity. And different types of materialistic association. One may be what's another example he gives here? One may become a cheap Vaishnava, just trying to show himself to be very advanced, just like chanting in a secluded place, but just to attract attention. I remember Prabhupada always telling that story of the yogi who was down in Calcutta by the Ganga, and he was doing the meditation. I think I've told this story before, that he was down there and many people saw this in the graveyard, salute here, and they would come and offer their obeisances and give him any donations, and he was very detached, and he would say, no, I don't want to, just leave it there, or throw it in the Ganga, I don't want this. No, we're offering to you, no, throw it in the Ganga, that'll be more better. So this was going on for some time, and some people were getting very suspicious, and they waited till everyone left in the night time, and then late in the night they saw that the yogi, he went to the Ganga where the people were throwing, and he actually had a net in there. When he said throw it in there, he had a net there underneath the Ganga, and so then at night time he would pull it up and all those things, but he was just maintaining as if he was detached, just to get cheap adoration. So this is another anatta. So we can be presenting ourselves as very great devotees, but just to get adoration, just to get respect, but be harboring all sorts of very materialistic desires. But this is also another another anatta. So the bhakti lata is the seed is given by good fortune by the representative of Krishna. But one has to be careful along the way. And Prabhupada says that when one becomes like this, this means the so-called devotee has become victimized by all these unwanted creepers, and that the real creeper, the bhakti lata has been stunted. I'm probably using this word also. Stunted, has been stunted. Doesn't grow very well. Too many weeds coming up. Where when you kick the weeds down, and actually the real creeper becomes so nice, and in the end it just smothers out the weeds. No chance for the weeds to grow anymore. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Has anyone got a question or comment they'd like to make in regard to this message? Yes.
Thank you for class. It was really good. Just in regard to this translation, it says by some woman, it sounds a bit derogatory in some sense. Why have they listened to it like that?
That's derogatory. Well, it may sound like that, but what is meant is by in the spiritual sense, the original male, there's only one male, that's Krishna. And everyone else is like female, in that there's the enjoyer and the enjoyer. And so all of us are female, but one of those females, one specific woman is the Prakriti. and she and as a female energy. So yes, but it's perhaps one when we read it is a bit derogatory, but one has to know the underlying philosophy behind it. That she's in the form of that Prakriti personified is in the form of a woman. So then, therefore, Paramatma is speaking like that by some woman. But we understand when the acharyas, the gurus, explain what that means. So I guess when someone reads it, it takes derogative. No, it's not meant to be derogative of a woman or something. It's meant to understand that actually all of us are female. And one of those females is an expansion, and that woman is the material, the whole material energy, and her arrangement does everything. So that's the understanding. Yes.
One is developing spiritual intelligence, at the same time one has to be remain in front of the spiritual master who are very humble, and in the sense you see you act like a fool in front of a spiritual master. So how do you understand remaining that unknown in front of spiritual master at the same time having the spiritual intelligence?
Remain humble in the spiritual master and before the spiritual master and
acting like a fool. One has to present oneself like a fool in front of spiritual master.
Yeah, and what was it?
And have spiritual intelligence at
the same time. And be intelligent at the same
time. Spiritual intelligence.
What kind of spiritual intelligence?
Well, I mean, you can be intelligent and not be puffed up. We shouldn't equate being intelligent to being puffed up. That happens. Material intelligence and material education, and one can develop very easily a superiority complex. But there's no contradiction actually between real spiritual intelligence and humility, because spiritual intelligence is of the soul, and humility is also of the soul. But one actually is on that level, then there's no contradiction between spiritual intelligence and humility. On the material platform, there's contradiction. One is very, very intelligent, and one becomes puffed up, and one can't be humble. So therefore, they kind of, it's a bit of a contradiction there. But if you understand the actual spiritual position, that if one actually has spiritual intelligence, automatically they will be humble. So if you're not humble in front of the spiritual master, and you're not completely on the spiritual platform. You haven't actually developed good spiritual intelligence so we're not 100% like that, but if we've developed even a little bit of spiritual intelligence, we'll always remember, at least we're not naturally like that, at least try to be like that. And then it's not a contradiction. One can be intelligent and be humble. There's many, even materially speaking, relatively speaking, there's some very intelligent people and they're relatively humble. It's not that someone who's very intelligent is automatically very arrogant and proud. Even materially. Some are, but others are not. But it's all relative. It's all kind of relative. But spiritually, it's absolute. If one is on that spiritual platform, increase his spiritual intelligence, automatically he'll increase his humility. Automatically. No contradiction. Yes.
My question is about the overview of the story. So Puranjana in his life, it doesn't appear that he does anything much spiritual at all.
He's what Puranjana in his life is?
He doesn't appear to do anything much devotional service.
King Pachinbhasha, hearing this from Narada Muni. So he's telling the story of Puranjana, that he starts off doing his kingly duties, but becomes more and more entangled. I think as you read through, he becomes more and more entangled. How do you mean, like in the next life, why did he get the benefit of...
Yeah, a really good service in the spirit.
He performed, in the beginning he was very pious, but because in the beginning, And throughout the life there was some measure, but he became more and more entangled and too attached to his God. So for one to get a situation like that, that means they perform some spiritual activity. So we can understand Puranjana, even as a story, in the beginning, he did perform some devotion. So he was blessed to come back as Vaidavi, and she got the good husband who was very advanced like that. So no one can be benefited like that unless they perform some type of spiritual thing. So in Paranjana, and the story must be that there's some spirituality must be there. Otherwise, how he can come back in Vaidavi? But still, you know, coming back in that way was a little bit of a mix. You know, he had to come back like that, in a position like that, where he could have just perfected his life in one life. So there was a mix. He had that spiritual benefit, but he had to tolerate that another material life again and come back in that situation. Follow the husband and so on. Any other questions? Okay, guys, Gopa Kida, Gopa Nandi, Hari Bol.